Head injuries rank among the most common traumas experienced by veterans who've served in Iraq and Afghanistan. When the symptoms of some of these concussions didn't seem to go away or were accompanied by things like mood swings and weight gain, it led some doctors to suspect that something else was going on. And now research suggests that traumatic brain injuries caused by explosions may affect the way the pituitary gland works and can cause hormonal dysfunction in soldiers, causing symptoms similar to PTSD or endocrine disorders. Dr. Charles Wilkinson was the lead researcher in the first study to look specifically into these possible links. He is a research associate professor at the University of Washington School of Medicine, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show. Hello.
Hello. How are you? It's my pleasure to be here.
How common are head injuries among soldiers serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, more than in previous wars?
Yes, definitely. It's due to a couple of factors. One is the increased use of improvised explosive devices and booby traps and mines. The other is that there have been great improvements in body armor and in rapid treatment on the front, so that many service members who would have been who would have died from these injuries in previous wars are surviving.
Hasn't the assumption been that the problem that the result is nerve damage? When did scientists like you begin to suspect that there was a correlation between these types of injuries and hormonal dysfunction?
I can tell you that the work really started about a dozen years ago in the civilian population. Pituitary damage after brain injury was considered to be very rare, but beginning about the year 2000, since then there have been about 30 studies that showing that 25 to 50% of individuals that experience traumatic brain injury from any cause, mostly auto accidents and falls, blunt force trauma, the 25 to 50% of those have chronic pituitary dysfunction. And just for the sake of putting it in perspective, that 25%, if you use the conservative figure, is one case out of four. But the frequency of pituitary dysfunction or hypopituitarism in the general population is estimated to be one out of 2,000. That means, if these studies are correct at all, that individuals with TBI have more than 500 times the likelihood of having pituitary problems than the general population.
How do you test for a pituitary problem?
What we do is hormonal screening. I should stress that this is not clinical diagnosis. It's screening by measuring hormone levels and looking for abnormal levels. If we find abnormal levels, then the next step is clinical evaluation.
Could these symptoms be attributed to PTSD or disguised by PTSD or other disorders that are widely experienced by soldiers? Or by, as you say, people who've been in car accidents or who've had a blow to the head or fallen?
There's definitely a considerable overlap in symptoms between PTSD and pituitary dysfunction. And some of those include problems with learning and memory, depression, fatigue, sleep disorders, irritability. There are other distinguishing factors. One thing about pituitary damage, it can also result in changes in body composition and cardiovascular disease. But one area where the PTSD symptoms are very different is the re-experiencing of the trauma, the flashbacks, the nightmares, the psychological, extreme psychological responses, reminders. Those do not occur in pituitary dysfunction.
Can't epilepsy also be caused by a head trauma?
I'm sorry?
Can't epilepsy also be caused by a head trauma?
Yes, it could be.
So there are lots of different things that can happen when we have a blow to the head. But let's talk about the pituitary. Mm-hmm. What does it do, and where is it located?
Okay. It's often called the master gland because it regulates the function of all of the other glands, the testes and ovaries, the adrenal glands, the thyroid. And it's located at the base of the brain. It's about the size of a garbanzo bean. And it's extraordinarily vulnerable to brain injury because of its location. It's connected to the brain by a very narrow stalk. It's about an eighth of an inch in diameter. And the base of the gland itself, or the body of the gland, is almost completely enclosed in a bony pocket. So if there's acceleration and deceleration of the brain, which there is in an impact or a blast explosion, this stock is being moved by the brain itself. It's held steady at the other end by the body of the gland in this confined space, so it's subject to a lot of forces. And also the gland itself can be damaged by compression or brain movement. Vascular pressure surges can damage the pituitary, and there can be damage to areas in the brain that control the pituitary. It's in a bad spot.
Is the type of pituitary dysfunction that's caused by these various factors different from the more common pituitary disorders?
Well, it includes the more common ones, although there is definitely a difference. The most common after TBI are growth hormone deficiency and hypogonadism, damage to the pituitary hormones that control the testes and the ovaries, resulting in sexual dysfunction and infertility. And you might wonder about the consequences of adult growth hormone deficiency, why that should be of significance. But actually, growth hormone deficiency is related to most of the symptoms that I described earlier as being similar to those of PTSD. This is a relatively new area. People are gradually more and more becoming aware of the great significance of growth hormone deficiency in adults.
In an interview with the LA Times, you said these findings are something that was far more important than anything you'd ever done before. And I guess other people are paying attention. Wasn't the study you participated in partially sponsored by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs that gave you close to $1 million to expand your research?
That's correct. The initial study was done was funded by the Department of Defense. It was a concept award, an award given for high risk but potentially valuable studies. And then the Department of Veterans Affairs also funded an extension of that research.
So, how are your findings? What treatments are we developing as a result of these findings? Can we do hormone replacement therapy?
You're right. The treatments are already available. That's one thing that makes it very important to distinguish, to screen for hormonal abnormalities, to distinguish it from PTSD or post-concussive syndrome, because if they can be demonstrated to be, the symptoms can be demonstrated to be due to hormone abnormalities, they're relatively easy to treat successfully with hormone replacement, and that's been done for years.
And while we were booking this interview, you received a call from a Marine who suffered from a variety of serious problems after a blast concussion, now receives hormone replacement therapy, and it's been a success for him.
Yes, it's actually been very rewarding to me. When I said it's the most important thing that's happened to me, is I'm a scientist, not a physician, and to have to do research that has this kind of direct impact on patient care, and to get the kind of feedback like that, this kind of finding has changed somebody's life. It's incredible to me.
Now, we have very little time, but since we were just talking about the high cost of drugs in this country, who pays for this hormone therapy?
That's one problem because, as I said, the most common deficiency is growth hormone deficiency. Treatment of that is very expensive. It costs something like $10,000 a year, and many insurance plans don't cover it. So that's a real problem.
Professor Wilkinson, and we have to leave it there, unfortunately.
Okay.
Charles Wilkinson is a research associate professor at the University of Washington School of Medicine. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.